be in my words and in my speaking. God be in our hearts and in our understanding. In this morning's lectionary reading from Hebrew Scripture, we get the end of the story of King David and the transition to the reign of King Solomon. In this reading, we learn how Solomon got his incredible wisdom. When God appears to Solomon in a dream to ask what God should give him, Solomon responds by asking not for wealth or power nor long life nor happiness, but for an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. And God, who is pleased by this request, promises that Solomon will indeed be given a wise and discerning mind, and further promises that Solomon, the things for which he has not asked, riches and honor, and if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, then I will lengthen your life. When I read Solomon's story, I have to admit, I found myself wishing that more of our political leaders today had such a selfless approach. When today someone seeks high political office, it often seems to be more about what the high position can do for them than about what the leader can do for his or her constituents. Solomon, who is already king over Israel, asks God for wisdom so that he will be a good ruler, fit to be the king of God's chosen people. He seems to recognize that he has been given a serious responsibility. And when God asks him what he wants God to give him, he responds by asking essentially for the skill to do the job that has fallen to him. In the letter to the Christian community at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul also has something to say about wisdom. Be careful, then, how you live, he instructs, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Paul is rather light on specifics, and some of his instructions sound far simpler than they actually are. He cautions us against debauchery and exhorts us to be filled with the Spirit, to sing and make melody to the Lord, and to give thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the core of the passage is this. So do not be foolish, Paul instructs, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That sounds simple enough until you really start to think about it. So much of what seems foolish or wise is a matter of perspective. Let me give you an example. Recently, I've begun commuting to work on my electric bicycle. There are a lot of positives here. I get exercise every day. It means I'm not buying or burning as much gasoline, so it's good for the planet and the budget. And I'm also not putting as much mileage on my elderly Toyota, which I am hoping can last me a few more years. So looking from that side, it's clearly wise. But that's not the only perspective. One could also point out that there's a fair amount of traffic on my road, on much of my route. And someone on a bicycle is pretty vulnerable to a driver who's not paying attention or is texting. Other parts of my route are on dirt roads where it would be easy to hit a pothole or a rut just wrong and have a fall. It takes twice as long to bike than to drive, so I'm wasting precious time. It's clearly foolish. As for understanding what the will of the Lord is, well, one could argue that ecological stewardship is care of creation that they absolutely know and understand exactly what the will of the Lord is. All too often, the people who are most willing to claim to know God's will in specific situations also hold opinions and values that I find at odds with a loving and forgiving God. Certainty is suspect. Too often, I think, people claim to be certain about something precisely because deep down they are not certain, and questions and uncertainty are frightening. It's comforting on some level to convince ourselves we're sure of something, even if we're not. But it's much more honest and faithful, I believe, to recognize that a deep faith gives us a framework within which to wrestle with important questions and challenges, and not a facile collection of set answers. To me personally, it makes far more sense to admit that we cannot know for certain God's will. We can always only guess, and keep testing, and keep retesting the answers we come up with. Even Scripture doesn't provide us with the last word on God's will. For one thing, there are a lot of contradictions in the scriptural record. A few weeks ago, for example, we heard the story of David and Bathsheba, in which, as one of my seminary professors put it, David breaks two of the big 10 commandments. And yet in today's lesson, God holds David up to Solomon as an example of faithfulness, instructing the young king to walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked. As well, there are a lot of modern issues upon which Scripture is entirely silent, leaving people to extrapolate from what is there. And there are things specifically prohibited, like lending money at interest, and practices specifically indicated, the Jubilee year, in which all debts are canceled, which we do not follow, and for which even strict biblical literalists are unwilling to advocate. We pick and choose among the scriptures, and we need to recognize that we are also liable to pick and choose among what things we understand as the will of God. So how do we achieve wisdom? How do we live, as Paul says, not as unwise people, but as wise? Solomon's approach, asking God for wisdom and getting the assurance that it is given, isn't really practical for us. Most of us don't have the kind of relationship with God where we make specific requests and subsequently get answers in words. The psalmist says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but that's a bit problematic as well. Personally, I don't much like the phrase, fear of the Lord. The word fear is so loaded with negativity that it doesn't seem to belong with a loving God. I suspect that a more idiomatic modern translation would be respect for the Lord, or even awe-filled wonder at the Lord. Something in any case that suggests a more positive response than fear to the presence in our lives of the one who made light out of darkness, who sent the incarnate word among us to demonstrate a new way of love and reconciliation, and whose spirit continues to inspire and call us to action. Another verse from the passage from Ephesians may give us some help with the question of wisdom. Paul exhorts the Christian community at Ephesus and us to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. We can't really control whether or not we are filled with the Spirit, but we can and need to make a conscious effort to hold ourselves open to her presence. Living wisely, then, becomes a process, holding ourselves open to God and the Holy Spirit, questioning and testing our impulses and opinions against what we imagine God would have us do, constantly listening for those tiny nudges of inspiration, those intuitive connections the unexpected notions that seem to float into our minds from nowhere, and trusting that God is, in fact, a part of our lives, a factor in our decisions, even and perhaps especially when we aren't completely certain of what God is up to with us. Our faith calls us to follow Christ, not just to worship, to do, to experience, not just to observe and venerate. Part of the doing, part of the action is, I believe, the process of discerning God at work in and among us. We are wise when we do that discerning work, when we open ourselves to the leadership of the Spirit, when we look for places in our community and in the wider world where Christ is already at work and join him there. Sometimes we're called to concrete tasks, volunteer at the Haven, get involved in anti-racism work, carpool or take the bus to lessen our carbon footprint. And sometimes it's more amorphous, a vague sense that there are things one might do rather than a specific item to add to the to-do list. But wherever our actions, our insights, our willing hands are needed, we have to be actively seeking, actively attuned to the working of the Spirit, to have any hope of discerning the actions to which we are being called. It is my prayer for all of us today that we will seek to live wisely, with intentional effort to discern God at work in and through us, and that as we learn to recognize God's presence and the Spirit's leading, we will be strengthened and empowered to do the work of reconciliation that Christ sets before us. In the name of Christ.